You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of December. We have a sample size of one. We'll analyze it. We'll break it down. We'll make too many outlandish statements about it. And then we'll get ready for sample size number two tonight. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. All right, so we have a sample size of one game that we get to analyze because it's all we've got. And the Jazz, quite honestly, were great. In the first half, the Jazz really is what to watch. That's they scored 62 points in the first half. They led 62-51. Phoenix did not play Chris Paul, so it was not quite the same. But I thought we saw a lot of things. The number one thing we saw was pace, space, ball movement, and threes. So the Jazz took 31 of their 49 shots as threes. Clarkson took 9 in the first half. Mia Oney took 5. Bogdanović took 6. It was 5. They also went to the free throw line 12 times. The offensive rating was about a 120. They had 14 assists, including 7 from Joe Ingles and 4 from Donovan Mitchell. And they got they honestly looked like the Warriors of a few years ago. They brought the ball up the floor quickly. They got into their offense quickly. And then they got great ball movement looks. I mean, if you run through the threes that they took, and it actually didn't start that way. That's like, if you go back and look at this, it actually didn't start that way. It took a little while, then all of a sudden. But, so, if we run through it, it's pretty interesting. Mitchell takes a three, assisted by Bogdanović, 15 seconds into the shot clock. Mitchell takes a three, 6 seconds into the shot clock. Mitchell takes a three, 13 seconds into the shot clock. On a non-assisted. Bogdanović takes a three. That one's about 17 seconds into the shot clock. Niang takes a three, 6 seconds into the shot clock. Pushing it up. Getting the early looks. Niang takes a three, 4 seconds into the shot clock. Donovan with the assist. Clarkson takes a three, 13 seconds into the shot clock. Bogdanović takes a three on what was right at the shot clock expiration. It actually doesn't add up. It's 25 seconds after the possession started. Oney, 6 seconds into a shot clock. Clarkson, 4 seconds into a shot clock. Right? Like, this is getting the ball up the floor quickly, getting that opportunity. Clarkson 15 out of a dead ball, 15 seconds on the shot clock. Okay. Like, on a dead ball, you can't do a lot about that. But you can see there in the first quarter just this commitment to getting the ball up the floor more quickly and then taking an open three look. And if we really kind of dig into it even more, it gets more interesting if you think it when you see it off a live ball. Right? So if it's not off a when it was actually off a miss or something of that sort, how fast did we get the three? I mean, I guess it's interesting that, you know, Niang's getting a three in the second quarter, 13 seconds off the shot clock off a made basket. Okay, that's definitely pushing and getting those early looks as well. But there's also something to, you know, those 4 and 5 seconds off misses. And most of them were assisted. We took 46-47% of our shots as threes in the bubble. And we seem to be doing it again. So that's the number one takeaway. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. I got two guys that impressed me. We'll run down all the players as we kind of continue on the show today. The key to all of it's Rudy running. You go over to NBA.com and you go look at the three-point shots. When Rudy runs the floor, doesn't wait up top to set the pick, someone gets the rebound, outlets, and he gets down the floor. That's when those early threes happen. The force that he has going to the rim is dramatic. And teams are forced to follow him. There were multiple times where there were two guys with Rudy as Rudy ran the floor. And then you're getting that early look three. And the Jazz offense was beautiful. Rudy runs. And then what we saw happen as the night went on was as the Jazz took more and more threes, the closeouts became harder, stronger and stronger. And as the closeouts became stronger and stronger, the driving lanes became wider and wider. And now you get those early threes. They have to close out really fast. Boom, you drive by. Now you're into the paint. They rotate over. You're kicking back out. The blender's rolling, and there's more threes to be had. And that's the Jazz look terrific. And that's where this offense really could be great. And this is how you get the catch and shoot three, and you've heard me talk about it a great deal, but if we go back to last season and you start to dig into the catch and shoot three numbers on this team, it's outstanding, and it's why you suddenly are willing to take what seems to be an insane amount of threes, 31 out of 49 of your shots. But Ingles is 45% catch and shoot. Donovan's 43. Oney last year in 10 games was 43. Bogdanovich 43. Conley 42. Niang 40. O'Neal 40. Clarkson 39. Juwan Morgan in 21 games 38. Right? These guys can shoot it. That's the guys. Bogdanovich talked about how Joe Ingles, and we've talked about this on this program, is one of the leaders in the NBA in early shot clock shooting. Over the last 3 years, I think Joe is actually the best there is in the NBA shooting percentage, field goal percentage early in the shot clock. So if you can continue to get those shot clock, early shot clock chances, then and get them, and Joe's got to run the floor. I mean, I asked Joe the other day in a media session, how does he weigh when to want to be point guard Joe versus kind of get open out for the open three Joe. And we saw them do a nice job of get out for the open three, not waiting back for the ball, not waiting for that opportunity. The key to all of it is Rudy running. I have two guys that stood out to me. They're different than players that I've heard from other people. So I want to share with you two guys I thought were really good in that game. And then we'll dig into some kind of a rundown of other guys and some reminders of some other things and things that we saw in that ballgame. Rejecting the screen. Noah Kozlov, Adam Stanko, if you're an NBA fan, really brings unique, interesting interviews to the table, and then also a good Tuesday show talking NBA. If you've not added that to your list of podcasts, please do. It's called Rejecting the Screen. The Ronnie Nunn interview they did last week was just fabulous. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. The Murdochs are doing great things right now. With every purchase, you get a gift card to Al's Sporting Good. More importantly, they're donating boots to the Utah Foster kids, so that they have warm shoes for the winter. And then at Chevy, they're giving the employee discount to everyone. So while the Murdoch Sure program continues at Murdoch Chevy, they are also giving you, which is to make sure that you're safe, socially distanced. If you want to have the car brought to you, so you have to go in. But now the employee discount is available for everyone. That's right. Whether it's the great Silverado with the employee discount, plus the cash allowance, plus the option package discounts can be over $8,000 right now. Whether it's the Colorado truck, maybe it's the Tahoe or the Suburban, the legendary lineup of Chevy's SUVs, the underrated Traverse, and the Equinox as well. It's all at Murdoch Chevy, located Woods Cross, also located in Logan. Check it out. Feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com to let me know that you're heading over there. We'll set you up with a VIP meeting before you go over to Murdoch Chevy. So the two players that impressed me, and then I want to dig into, I thought there was something interesting about our rotations. The two guys that impressed me were Juwan Morgan and Trent Forrest. So the Juwan Morgan aspect is just the versatility that he showed in the game. First of all, he hit three threes. Two of them were above the break threes. Okay, so like if he starts hitting above the break threes, it's really quite a player. Or at least a rotation player. You know, find an undrafted player. So that's the obvious. And I think you always have to be a little careful sometimes when you start to like look at guys and you start breaking them down. You know, you fall in love with their game because they made shots. That's a pretty good way to miss on someone because over time, right, you know, one night of making shots does not always yield to the answer of what the future has. These guys are all great. And they make shots. And frankly, if you look at Juwan Morgan, you know, he made as many above the break threes in that preseason game as he made in the entire season last year. So you're not, you know, let's be a little careful, right? But, and, you know, he only played 21 games last year and he only took eight threes all year. So that can be part of the reason. There was more to it than that. One, the seven rebounds were great. So now he's playing, he's rebounding, and he's hitting the above the break three. There's no question the above the break three. Like if that goes down with regularity, it changes everything. In the first half, he played 16 minutes. He had 6 points, four rebounds. In the second half, what was super interesting was there was a bunch of times in which Javon Carter was on the floor, who does all sorts of, you know, kind of wacky stuff, getting up on you 94 feet and doing all that. And he actually brought the ball up the floor. And then you add in, by the end of the night, Morgan had another four rebounds in the second half. I just thought it was a very versatile, impressive performance. So keep an eye on that. I thought Juwan, ability to handle, made some shots, moved the ball, made right decisions, looked super comfortable. I thought that was impressive. The other guy I really liked was Trent Forrest. So he's one of our two-way guys. And because we just signed Shaq Harrison, I guess the chances of probably Trent Forrest ever playing are slim, but he is a two-way guy. So I think we'll see him. Undrafted out of Florida State. A few things on him that were interesting. One, he played at his speed. He had Javon Carter all over him. Like, that's what Javon Carter does. Javon Carter is a pit bull defensive player that just gets in on you. And he did not seem bothered by that much at all. The other thing about Forrest that jumped out to me was his size. So he's 6'4", 210, and he looked it. And he was able to keep people on his hip at some points. He looked pretty comfortable. We didn't see him, like, pull up and shoot. And so I'm sure there's aspects of his, like, he didn't take a three. But he played 12 minutes of point guard where I thought he looked very in control. And I don't want to get too excited, but we have had a litany of Monte Morris, Fred VanVleet, second round picks, or undrafted free agents who like survive. And not only survive, but are good. So I left the game having watched Trent Forrest, who I was definitely impressed by, and then decided to go read about him. Okay, so he's a four-year player at Florida State, and he's the winningest player in the school's history. All right. He's in the rotation for 3 years. He's a starter for two of them. Last year, everyone's watching Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams, the first-round picks. And he, like, flips their program into wins. Like, the young kids are not helping you win. Like, this is the kid who's helping you win. He's got a 6'7 wingspan. He basically played point guard all year last year. He's really solid. Like, everything I read about him was like, and you aren't finding, like, significant flaws in his game other than the shooting. So he shot 25% from beyond the arc in his four-year career. For a guard, that gets you undrafted, right? Like, he was 28% last year. So the next thing you look at a player like that is, well, what's his free throw shooting? Like, does he have a bad touch? Well, he was 75% as a free throw shooter for his career, which is only okay. 82% as a senior, which is really good. So, yeah, I don't know if you can turn a guy into a shooter. And obviously, you need him to be able to shoot. But I was super impressed by him. Then you go look at college numbers of wins, who he played with, length, 7.5 free throw attempts per 100 possessions, which is pretty high for a guard that doesn't shoot a lot. 24% assist rate over three seasons in the ACC. Like, untalked about entirely, but two-way player, like, I'm curious. Then I go to the Kevin Pelton numbers, which are rebounding and steals are the two things that always blocks, rebounds, and steals always translate. This guy's got an astronomically high block rate for a point guard, 2.3%, and a 3.6% steal rate for his career, which is in the top three of the ACC for three straight seasons. So let's keep an eye on this. Like, I know we want to talk about Doka, and we will, and we want to talk about Elijah Hughes, and we will, but I honestly left the game kind of intrigued by Trent Forrest. And because he's on a two-way contract, and because you're allowed to have two-way contract guys up more, like, I think it'll be super interesting to see what he does. So I'm excited to watch him again tonight against Phoenix, and I'm just not sure there's actually a tougher inauguration than Javon Carter. And I thought he handled it beautifully. So maybe I'm overstating it. Had never seen him before, but, like, looked the part. So Jawan Morgan and Trent Forrest were the two players that I thought jumped out the most to me. I thought there was something really, really interesting in the Jazz rotation. I want to give that to you. And we'll take a look, a reminder on something about Faves, a way we used Boyan, and we'll talk about the two rookies. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Utah's own company, blowing up everywhere. It's the world's best tasting protein bar with the amazing, amazing macros. Let's just dig into that right away before we talk about the great flavors. And now they got so many other fun products going on as well, with Built Bites and Built Boost and Built Broth and Built Go. I love it. The Built brand is blowing up before us. But when you grab that coconut bar with 100% chocolate, it's only 130 calories, It's only 17 grams of protein, or it is 70 grams of protein, and it's only 4 grams of sugar. So you're getting more protein, less calories, less sugar, and less carbs. And you're getting a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Half the fat grams, 1/9 the carbs, 1/7 the sugar, and more protein. It's pretty amazing. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 20% off. Monday edition of Locked On NBA is the biggest stories. Local experts. Make sure you grab it every Monday with Josh Lloyd. We've got a big announcement of a new show coming your direction this week with Locked On. And some more coming. So fun, exciting stuff coming this week. I'll give one for you. You'll like it. You'll be excited. It'll be all good. All right. Here's a rotation thing. So we started Rudy Gobert. Juwan Morgan, or George Niang, excuse me. Rudy Gobert, George Niang, Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell. No Mike Conley, no Royce O'Neal. So that George started the four, and Bojan Bogdanović started at the three. So that's the first thing, is that Bojan played almost entirely at the three. Jordan Clarkson was the first substitution at the 5:15 mark. If we run through the subs, there's something interesting here. So no surprise, Clarkson's our first sub in for Ingles. That, I think, will match. And if Royce O'Neal doesn't start, like, he'll come in quickly. Our next sub in was Oni for Niang, which slid. Now Bogdanović slides to the four for just a little while. And then the Jazz made subs. Morgan came in. So Bogdanović plays the opening 10 minutes, and he plays all but a minute 40 of them at the three. We'll watch this. Favors, Morgan come in. Ingles comes in for Gobert. And now you have Ingles and Favors back together. Bogdanović and Gobert going out together, right? We've talked about these various rotation items that we're going to have. So we go through and we get to the second quarter. It's kind of staying with our regular rotations as much as, you know, we're playing no Clarkson and no Royce, so you're playing a few other guys. And maybe Bogdanović playing the three is because of no Royce. Let's be clear. Niang comes in for Morgan. And when Bogdanović returns, he comes in for Favors with Gobert coming in for Clarkson. Morgan is still on the floor. Or Morgan comes in too. So at the 7:41 mark of the second quarter, Bogdanović comes back in as a three. I don't know if this is season long. Well, I'll ask Quinn about this in the coaches show today. And so Bogdanović plays the three until, and again, that was at the 7:41 mark, until Ingles subs in at the 2:31 mark for Morgan. And now the Jazz close the half with Mitchell, Ingles, Clarkson, Bogdanović, and Gobert. And so, again, 5 of the 7 minutes in which Bogdanović is on the floor, he played at the three. And if you look at Bogdanović for the night, he played 17 minutes, and I would guess he played about 13 of the 17 minutes at the three. That might be new. That might be a change. He matched Gobert. Ingles and Favors matched each other a great deal. The first half, which is really, you know, it's not entire, again, no Conley, no Royce. Bogdanović, 17 minutes. Gobert, 17 minutes. Perfectly matched with each other, both on the pace to play 34. Donovan played those same minutes. Donovan and Rudy matched for most of last year, by the way. Do they do that again? Favors only played 6 minutes. His first touch, of course, was a lay-in from Ingles. Seeing Faves again reminded me of a few things. Reminded me of a period of time where Jeff Hornacek used to say about Favors, anytime he ever touches the ball, it's his. Guaranteed. And we saw that, I think, on a few balls, either where he caught it low on a catch or he tipped it around and he got it immediately. So it was great to have Faves back. It was fun. By the way, we haven't talked about it, but we had fans in the crowd. Not very many. We had employees, about 500. And I'll tell you what, I thought it seemed reasonable. It didn't feel like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? What have we done here? It really felt very reasonable and seemed very, you know, if safe is the... People had their masks on. They were distanced. I was a little surprised, like, people, there was enough room with only like 500 people there. You could have had more distance. And I'm not sure that people did. Like, I would have taken more distance personally. But I really thought it felt safe. It felt well put together. One other note on the game. We went to Boyan in the post. That's something they've talked about in the season. That we're going to do is first play of the game is something Quinn always calls. And the first play was Boyan in the post. And then let's talk about the rookies. As I know that's what everyone wants to see. Again, I'm going to say this again. I expect nothing out of the rookies this year. If you just go back through what they usually go through all these workouts. Those workouts with teams are actually super valuable. It teaches them how to play the game, what's going on with the game, different ways to guard things. They didn't get any of that. They didn't get the 2 weeks of practice before Summer League. They didn't get Summer League. They didn't get the break to kind of collect themselves and work on things after Summer League. They didn't get the month of September where they're working out in the team facility, often with players. They didn't get training camp. I think the rookies this year have like no chance. Oney, Juwan Morgan, Jarrell Brantley, I think they have a chance. But I do not think... That the other kids are going to do a lot. Now, with Udoka, pretty cool. Blocks two jump shots. Gets a dunk on a lob that's like above the cup, way above the cup that only he could get. That's the incredible athleticism. Seemed off balance a few times. Got tied up for a rebound that led to an offensive rebound the other way. So not flawless at all. Has a sore knee, may not play today. You know, grabbed a few rebounds, turned it over a few times, had three fouls in 12 minutes. Kind of everything you'd expect. Like, the exciting part about it is the incredible length and athleticism he was able to display it. Your concern on someone is, oh my gosh, the things that made him great in college you can't suddenly do. 0 for 3 at the free throw line, 41%. College free throw shooter, like that's going to have to probably be an item to talk about for a long time. Elijah Hughes played 12 minutes. Defense is going to be a big adjustment for him because he came from Syracuse. Offensively, like he's got the offensive isolation game. He had the most isolations of anybody in the draft, 144. And you can see why. Like he just naturally... kind of can beat people, play on his own. He pulled from 30 on a confident three, which I kind of loved. He can get by guys naturally without a lot of this or that. It was very impressive. In case of emergency, I think you could break glass and put him on the floor and he'd probably be okay. I actually really like the two rebounds and the assist. Like, it just tells me maybe he's just a good enough athlete. He's able to put a lot of stuff out there at one time. So I thought Hughes' one-on-one game was impressive. Great night. Hey. And my numbers peaked out for Phoenix's offense, but I'm not all in on Phoenix. Their bubble stuff is a little bit of a misnomer on how... they got farther to go than people would say. Let me just say that. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Tonight, Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. I think we'll see Mike Conley, see if we can still play with that tempo. Mike has not, you know, Mike's not a fast-paced player. And so as much as you think of him as a quick point guard, and I mean, his dad's an Olympic athlete, and he is, but he's always played in Memphis where it's much more slow down, get into the half court. And can we play with that same kind of pace? That would be, you know, that's going to be something I'm watching tonight with Mike. Can we pick up that tempo and that place? Last year, when Mike was on the floor, we played about the same amount of, a little less fast. Our fast break stuff was down from where it was regularly. Joe was way down. Joe was the fast break stopper last year. So he's got to get out and run. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in right now. Tell your smart device to go play the podcast, Rejecting the Screen. Have a good day.